Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode. A complete disorder of technical affairs here today at Smoke If You Got It, but we're going to push on through. Today, for record selection number one, I don't even know what I'm talking about, the Oracle of Oxford County, Jeremiah Charlton.
We are doing Dune, Eros, D-U-N-E-R-O-S. Dune is the name of the band. Eros is the name of the album. It is a subgenre of Zool.
Which sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it's a subgenre of prog, I should say. And they are one of the great progenitors of this music. And you're going to enjoy it. It's a great time today. You know the rules. Smoke it. Listen to side one. Come back to us. Talk to me in 20 minutes, all right?
There you go. Let's go to side A.
Gee, this is my favorite album we've done so far.
I agree with you. I want to hear this really loud with a bunch of people in the room. This is one of those things that got me into prog originally. I love when everything is composed and it's a big band and everybody is going in and out. To give you some context, folks, this is this has a lot of Zappa. This has a lot of rocking out Crimson. This has Blue Oyster Cult. This has everything that we've heard up to this point is in this album, honestly. But it's the greatest of times. We're listening to Dune. This is their 1981 release, and we're on side A. Out of the two tracks up at the top, which is your favorite?
The first one.
I really like Arrakis, which is track number two.
I like them both. I like them both, right? So, like, it's really just that they set the tone, right? So they come out just bam.
Yeah, it the record hits you like a ton of bricks. It's full on rock and roll. Everything is composed and everything is intentional.
This is their only album too.
Only release, huh?
Yeah, they made 1,000 copies and they sold them at concerts.
Well, there you go. So what's the price? What's the asking price for this?
There's one copy. One guy is selling. There's only one copy available. Wow. Guy's selling it in Japan for $500 and something.
Oh, that's no problem. So, there you go. Somebody get that and send it over to us.
Come on.
What was the thing that what did you like best? Because to me, again, was all the percussive breaks in the music and all the, you know, the melody was just as important in the percussion as it was in the string instruments. And that to me was really cool. The fact that it sounds like an army of musicians coming at you really, really turned me on, you know?
Doug, the guitar player.
Killer guitar player. Do you have the name of the members of this band?
Yeah, the guitar player is Jean Gereitz. That's the guitar player. Bruno Sabbath on piano. Pascal Vanderbulkel on flute. Thierry Tranchant on bass. And Laurent Berthold on drums. And Alain Termoz on percussion. And xylophone. So that's the shit about this band. That vibraphone, xylophone, super important to the sound.
That is what
flute,
makes
super
it
super important to the sound too.
Yeah, that really is what makes it. If you folks, if you find folks listening to us, I'm sure you all know about Steve Reich and that lot of people. But it reminded me a lot of 18, and a lot of the pieces of music from Steve Reich where there are percussively driven. Yeah, Ruth Underwood. Yeah, exactly. Which is all the Sapa that we were talking about earlier. So this is a French band.
Yes, and so this goes on my list of what I told everybody before. My top 10 French prog bands are tougher than your top 10, fill in the blank, from whatever country you think the best prog comes from.
The Shots Fire Challenge of Season 1, we still have anybody to take up. Whoever comes up with it, you know.
Come on.
Just try them. Just bring it on. Can we talk about the record cover? It reminds me of Seraphim, or you know,
it's creepy. The music has a little bit of creep to it too. That's why I love it.
The music is
man.
Super creepy because it has dark. A lot of.
How dark is your prog?
Yeah, if I needed to like point it somewhere, this is like this is Tim Burton territory. This is Danny Elfman territory. And it is 1981. The cover is a white mask of a clown with, you know, for the eye holes, it's just black and black lips. It's a very serial killer. And it's also very simple. You know, the word Eros in caps at the bottom and Dune with the umlaut at the top. Very nondescript. It does fit the music very well because the music couldn't be more expressive if it tried legitimately. This
Before,
record, record should be flipped over, though.
yeah, before we go to the side two, I want to talk about, I said this is Zool, right?
Oh yeah, the subgenre. Yes, I don't even know about this.
So it really comes from Magma.
Okay.
So bands that basically like really threw down with Magma, also because of like the sung language.
Right. Well, you're gonna have to go deeper into that.
Oh, so folks, so Magma, which we will talk about Magma, one of the best bands of all time.
Agreed.
We might as well say it right now. They're also on the top 10 French bands of all time list. So they created their own language they sing in called Cobayan.
Yeah, the drummer and founder of the band, Christian Vander, came up with his own written language.
Yeah. So Zool means celestial. So like celestial music.
There you go.
And but there's lots of cool bands that come from it. Usually with people that like have played in Magma. Like the band We Doors is really awesome. There's actually
and they all fall in that place of celestial music.
Zool, yeah. Eschaton's incredible. There's actually Japanese bands that are really into them. Nice. And singing Kobayan, the made up language. The Japanese guys sing in the Kobayan language. They're called Ruins, incredible band. So there's lots of them, actually. Zool Caravan, I'm thinking about it now. Zao. There's so many good Zool bands. One of the strongest, along with what we talked about the other day about when we talked about the Art Bears.
Yeah.
The RIO, Rock and Opposition.
Well, this is one of those bands subgenre. that wants to take you someplace else. I'm a big fan of bands that come up with their own language, because it takes you on a different journey, right? Once words are out of the equation, the music becomes entrancing, ritualistic, and a louder setting would become hypnotic, and it would make perfect sense for this to be called celestial music. There's an instrument with that name that is representative of the sky and earth. So yeah, this is all super groovy stuff in a very good way. This has been Hokey or Cheesy. If you like rock and roll and you like the music that we've been talking up to this point, this record will not disappoint you. Can we flip this over?
Yeah. We also shouldn't have to pull your arm here to convince you to man up here and smoke it one more time here for side two.
Listen to my partner. I mean, he's just speaking the truth here. You want to give him a little pep talk here? Because, come on.
Put the phone down. You know, every time you want to look at those hoes on Instagram. I understand. Everyone loves it. Even the hoes love another hoes on Instagram. It's okay.
That's how they make their money. Yeah.
Nothing but wrong for with now. This. But just for this, come on, for 20 minutes, put it down. Listen to this album. I want, and then think about where does your mind go when you hear this music?
Right.
Because like that's what happens is when you listen to regular music. I'm not going to say like we could go all the way down to like pop music, country music. It basically can be very background noise in your life. It's very unoffensive, right? It doesn't take much space in your head.
You can just exist and you don't have to think about it.
So this music is the opposite of that, right?
Yeah.
It forces it upon yourself. So surrender and come back to us, please, in 20 minutes.
Listen to the man. We'll see you in a second. All right. This record does not let down. We're listening to Dune.
Nope. Best album we've listened to yet, G.
Arrows, 1981, a French band sitting in the subgenre of Zool, which we just learned from the Oracle of Oxford County, Jeremiah Chung.
Yes,
very, very smart decision to bring this record. And we've grown into progression, right? We went almost to no form into pop form to a certain extent. But it's been very organic. It's been very authentic, original, and I can't stress how cool the breaks are in this record in terms of what everybody's doing together. all the musical breaks work so well. This band, in my mind, and when I'm listening to it, I'm really playing it loudly in noise canceling headphones. It became a rock and roll big band, you know. And in the first, especially the first cut of the B-side, Bitonio, there is something really cool about where this song starts and how it ends and transitions into the last cut of the record. It's also the shortest song of the album, and to me is the one that had the most twists and turns.
Wow, it's incredible. There's no weak points in this album. Short album, 36 minutes.
Yeah.
And man, it's just bulletproof.
Yeah. Yeah. Very so we're talking about how these bands come off of Magma and Christian Vander and the affinity of creating a new language and that sort of stuff. I feel like this band has a lot to prove every time they play, not in terms of like for the listener, but in terms of them. It sounds like there's a really healthy competition happening inside the studio.
Oh, so what's interesting is, and I love Magma, right? They're one of the best bands. I've seen them live twice and incredible. Again, one of the best bands ever. But I think that this album, you could say, is like the best Zool album, right? Like it reminds me of, if you guys know any of the hard rock, like you think about like Van Halen 1984, that album, like, and then Roth leaves and then he puts Eat 'em and Smile, and like Eat 'em and Smile is like the best Van Halen album that really wasn't a Van Halen album.
yeah.
So like this is like the version of this in Zool.
This
is the best Magma album of all time, right? Like, and it's not a ripoff.
Nope.
But it's definitely a tribute, right? Like if you listen to a lot of Magma, you'll hear it. You'll hear, especially
I don't think it could have happened without Magma, obviously.
Well, no, not even close. So, they're trying, right? Like,
yeah, but it's very much their own thing. I think what Dune set out to do was create this like body of work that resonates at a high level. And they did it in the shortest amount of tracks. It's only four tracks, this record, you know, in totality. It's only four tracks. This is the Bitonio is 7 minutes long, and the closing one it's 10 minutes long, Arrows. But total time of 36 minutes. There's not a wasted space in this record.
No. What's interesting to me also is like the album being released in 81, like that's the end, and that's like sort of like the end of Magma too. Like, not quite. Like, I'm like, come on, don't get mad, internet. I'm not saying that, but if you really know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying, that Magma was nearing its end of its relevancy and its run.
Right, it changes, right? And changes after that.
And popularity wise too, like they were popular in France and drew good crowds, but this was like probably their peak was probably 76. You know, like a good run from early 70s to mid 70s, drawing big crowds. So my thoughts are like these kids were like probably in high school going to those Magma concerts, you know, in 76, and getting their head completely blown off their shoulders and going home and practicing and like creating this music. It's incredible. This is not like fucking just going seeing a punk band and coming out with your buddies and knowing three chords. Like, this is
no. This is complex. This is aggressive. This has, you know, deep, this has much, man, Zappa as it has fusion jazz, as it has gamelan music. You know, just the idea of a standard group that only presents their music live, and this is the record that there is. There's only 1,000 of them, and it includes flutes and vibraphones and synthesizers. Nothing sounds like this, and it's such a great. If this is the end, like you're talking about, like the end cap of that era, what a great end cap to that era. Because, yeah, you're probably right. These are just people that were super hungry to create something that sounded like their heroes. It sounds like a love letter to Magma for sure, without taking away the fact that it's a straight up like rock and roll band, just rocking the hell out of your face from the top to the bottom. You know, like this is one of those records that you pass on and you tell people to listen to. And that's what we do here at Smoke If You Got 'Em. So this is it.
So before we leave, I told people our last episode that we'd do a little review of like our best songs so far of the This is our 12th episode today, actually.
Yeah, but before you bury the lead here, if you want to go check out that playlist, which is already set up, it's got all the best stuff, it's ready to go. You got to go over to the anchor.fm page, subscribe to the page, and you'll get a direct link over to YouTube, and you'll get them all first try. There's no money, just subscribe to the channel and send us over, because you know, it'll help us in the algorithm. We'll show up in more places, and we got to teach these folks a lesson. So join us over there. Check those out, and we'll see you tomorrow on Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em.